This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Everybody, this is episode number 70 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Is it just me, or do I feel like we were just here?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just feel like the days have started to blur, and maybe it's just that the GP went by so fast, but I feel like I was just sitting here recording with you all, and now here we are again.
Mm-hmm. Here we are again, every week at the same time.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Right. So we're going to start off the show with Katie. Now, you received the playmat, yes. And we have all of our signatures. Hallie mm-hmm. has affectionately dubbed us the Sisterhood of the Traveling Playmat.
That is how it feels to me.
I'm okay with this. And Katie, you went through iTunes and you found us one of the reviews that our listeners were nice enough to send us. And who did you choose?
I chose Sam, I Am the Law.
Hello.
Yes. We got many lovely reviews on iTunes, so I was glad for everybody who, you know, wrote us those. But this one says, The Girlfriend Bracket covers what's happening each week in Magic, from pre-releases to the Pro Tour, plus discussions going on in the community. They're silly when possible and serious when called for, and most importantly, they weigh in on everything from different perspectives. If you're competitive and grind PPTQs, there's a voice here for you. If you're a brewer and want to celebrate the latest unique creation to top 8, there's a voice here for you. If you're a judge or player or a fan of the story, or if you hate everything in the world except Dredge, then listen in for what's going on in Magic from four hosts who truly love the game.
Oh, that was so sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so you said it was Sam I Am?
Sam I Am the Law.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you are listening, Sam, you are the winner of our playmat. Go ahead and email Katie.
Yes.
And you are katie.neil14?
Yep, @gmail.
Okay. Okay, and then Katie has the mat with all of our signatures, and we will also send you a sticker, and thank you so much for the review. Mm-hmm. And Katie, you also have a one of excellence for us this week. It's been a while since we've had one.
I know. I do have one. She does a job that I have no idea how to do, or I don't even know what it is. She balances two podcasts. She just got her first pro point, and she just had a birthday. So I thought that we should have the Women of Excellence this week be Miss Erin Campbell.
No, you did not.
Yes.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we all agreed on it.
Oh, Jesus, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I was following along with you where you were like, job. And I'm like, okay, who could that be? I'm like, oh, two shows. Man, that's ambitious. And then they're like, okay. Oh, thank you guys so much. That's incredibly sweet.
It's kind of hard to like, I sent them a message and I was like, how are we going to do this without like her knowing? Cause you're in every email that we send. And I was like, well, I'll just say that I have one and hopefully that'll be fine.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you. That's a really awesome birthday gift. And I also have a woman of excellence. We received a tweet from a listener who suggested a young lady to us. She goes by the name of Jamie Topples, on Twitch. She is a streamer. Chris, I believe you've watched her stream before.
Yes, I have.
Okay, and so you're a bit of a fan of her. She just recently completed a 24-hour stream, which is not easy. I can barely keep it going for a league, much less 24 hours. So she's exhausted, and she's probably sleeping as we record this. But her bio is what really sold me on her Twitch page. She says, hey, my name is Jamie, and I'm obsessed with Magic. The Hubs bought me Clash decks for Christmas in 2014. I actually cried because I thought they were a terrible gift. But then I gave it a shot and I was hooked. And she's been super lovely on Twitter. I've watched her stream. She's a really beautiful layout. She cultivates a really positive audience. And she also seems very amusing. I'd love to have her on the show sometime. And we also saw there was a tweet that we got tagged in the other day from a young man who said that he wants to see so many lady streamers that he can't possibly see them all. And it seems like Jamie is really furthering that goal of getting more women in streaming. And we love everything she does. So if you want to watch her, you can find her at twitch.tv/JamieTopples. That is JamieTopples, and keep up the good work, Jamie. So, Hallie, you got to do a conspiracy draft this past weekend.
I did. It was super fun.
Okay, so what were your impressions of the conspiracy set?
It was definitely interesting. I don't play a lot of multiplayer Magic, so I am a little out of my depth when it comes to playing the actual matches and kind of navigating the politics of it. But I do really love, I love drafting, and I love a lot of the design space that Wizards gets to use with Conspiracy in terms of, like, creating cards that care about the draft. There was a card that I drafted that was actually really cool. It allowed you to sort of play with cards that weren't in your deck. So even if you were kind of like getting cut out of your colors, or, you know, couldn't find space in your deck for all the cards you wanted to play with, you could start the game by revealing this creature and then exiling any number of other creature cards. And then if you paid one in a red, that creature could become a copy of any of the creatures you exiled, which was really cool. It gave me a lot of leeway. Like, I could, you know, if I exiled, you know, a creature that did damage when it died, I could, like, attack with this creature, and my opponent would not know whether they wanted to block it, because they were like, oh, if I kill this thing, I could take 3 damage, and that could be bad, so I'm just gonna let it through or something, which was pretty cool. So we split up into 2 pods, and we decided to, I don't know, kind of capture the spirit of Conspiracy and, you know, the monarchy by purchasing some, like, plastic crowns from a curiosity shop down the street. So we got these crowns. If you go on my Twitter feed, you can see there's a picture of Kirby. Kirby took the crown, but it was too big for him, so it was kind of wearing it around his neck. In my pod, I was playing with, Robert and 2 of our other friends, and our pod was like Game of Thrones. Like, one of us would take the crown, and then the other one would attack that person, and then we were just, like, all going after each other, and it was very balanced. Then the other pod, Allie Medwin, Magic R&D friend of the show, had the crown for the entire game, because she managed to get, this sort of, like, ghostly prison lock, where, like, she had a ghostly prison in play, and she had this 4-mana black enchantment that, it said that, like, if an opponent attacked her, then they would lose a life for each attacking creature, I think, or something like that. So she basically built up a wall and was just kind of like, I'm impervious, I'm, you know, come at me, you know, I'm the monarch. And she was having a really good time, but it seemed like it was still a very interactive game, and, like, everyone else who was playing at that table was still having fun, so, It was definitely a really fun set. I definitely need to learn more about the politics of it, because I was the first one out in my pod. I assembled a really cool combo where, like, I had a creature that got a counter whenever a creature died, and then I had, like, Soul of a Harvest, which lets you draw a card whenever a non-token creature dies, like any non-token creature, not just yours. So I was drawing a bunch of cards and making big creatures and doing a lot of the things I love to do in Magic, but because I had this big board state, I kind of ended up with a target on my head. So one of my friends ended up attacking me with a lot of his flyers, and I couldn't really deal with it. But it is definitely a fun set. It's not what I typically draft, but I think it's still fun every once in a while. And we do have another box, so I look forward to drafting it again soon.
Now, how important was being the monarch? Because it was something that I kept seeing on, you know, a lot of the cards, and it seemed like that was a really big selling point. So, you know, when somebody was the monarch, did that automatically make them a target? Did it feel like they had, you know, such an advantage over everybody? Like, what role did that play in things?
It really depended on the composition of the deck. There were some decks that you can draft where you get a lot of benefits for being the monarch. In a limited format, drawing extra cards is valuable. So even if you're just the monarch for a turn and you get to draw an extra card, that's still valuable. I kind of tried to draft a Being the Monarch Matters deck, and that was partly why I ended up with a target on my head. I had two copies of this card called Garrulous Sycophant, which is, it's a common creature. It's a 1/4 for 3. At the beginning of your end step, if you're the monarch, each opponent loses one life and you gain a life. So I had two of those in play. I think I drafted two or three of them. I ended up just draining my opponents at the end of every turn. And so they all started, like, cracking back at me. And so you can have cards like that that, you know, give you specific benefits from being the monarch, but sometimes, you know, just drawing a card is enough.
Interesting. So it sounds like you definitely are going to draft it again because you have that other box.
Oh, yeah. And I have a couple friends coming to town for PAX who are interested in drafting it this weekend, so hopefully we'll break it out then and have some fun.
Yeah, it seems like the drafts were firing pretty consistently when we were in Indianapolis. We kept seeing crowns everywhere, and people were having a blast with it. And, you know, I certainly took a couple of selfies with the crown, and I had a couple of people give me their crowns for my birthday. And it seems like the set was really, really well received. Like, everybody had a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm famously not a drafter, but Conspiracy is one of the few sets that I will completely draft. And so, you know, I don't really have any major events coming for the next couple of weeks. So if I can get my hands on some Conspiracy, I would love to draft it, too.
Yeah, you should. Super fun.
Yeah. So, Chris, you and I were in Grand Prix. We're at Grand Prix Indianapolis this past weekend, speaking of the event. And why don't you start us off by talking about how your trip went?
I'm really happy that we went. I had a lot of fun. I really wish I had done better, unfortunately. I was pleased with how well you did, Aaron. And ultimately, my friend Ben, he ended up taking 44th place, and that was awesome. So I had people to be happy for, even if I didn't do so hot. I started out pretty well. I had a round one bye. Round two, I had to play versus Jeskai Control, lost to them. And then I had to face them again in round three, but was able to beat them. My opponent made a pretty big mistake. When he cast Crumble to Dust, he decided to Crumble to Dust my Stomping Ground instead of my Valakut. And so that was a little concerning because I was like, why did you, I'm not even going to say anything. And then after he did it, he was like, oh shit, I picked the wrong man. I'm like, So then after that, I had to play Merfolk, and I wasn't really concerned about Merfolk whatsoever. My matchups, you know, versus Merfolk are pretty darn good. So I wasn't really worried about facing them. Ended up beating them and had to go on to play Blue-White Control. And that was really hard because that's, like, my Bay deck. So I was like, this is pretty bad. I really don't want to lose to it. I mean, dude knew what he was doing. He was totally on point. I think later on I saw him at the top table, so good for him. But I just could not come back after that unfortunate lost to him. He had Aven Mind Censor, and it just cut me off of just like anything that I really needed to do. In the first game, I just got countered up my brains out. Then I had to play Zoo. Played versus a very nice opponent. That's the one thing I can definitely say is that all my opponents, like throughout the entire day, were wonderful. And sometimes Same. You can't say that. And yeah. And I kept hearing it even at the back tables. People were like, you know, all my opponents were really nice today. And like, that's really awesome. And so, kudos to the community for not being jerks. So love that. versus my Zoo opponent, I had really, really bad draws. I had to mull a couple times. It was just less than ideal, to say the least. And then in the seventh round, I had to play versus Grixis Control, which is a deck that I have considered playing because there are things that I do like about it. You know, there are spells that I haven't cast before. I've never cast a Terminate. Why would I need to? So that might be fun to do. But he was the person that ended up knocking me out of contention. We had a really close game one, and then game two, I couldn't come back, and I couldn't even get Escape Shift off. It was pretty sad. And then the final round that I played was round eight, and I lost to a Death Shadow Brew. And I was just playing very sloppy at that point in time, and I just really was not, like, in it anymore. My brain was out to lunch, so I decided not to play the final round because I figured that I was already feeling just kind of sluggish and, like, I wasn't playing my best, so I was like, we're just gonna stop here. Normally, I probably would have kept on doing it, but I just didn't want to. I really would like to day two someday. I'm really hoping. So I'm just going to keep practicing and keep hope alive that when we go to Dallas Fort Worth, that that will be a lot better. I'm going to stick with the deck because I still really enjoy it. I do want to throw some other decks together just for fun. I may make some tweaks. I'm not sure. Ultimately though, the Grand Prix was wonderful. I had awesome company and I was just really, really happy that I got to be with Erin on her birthday and that we were able to go down there with our friend Erin from Turn One Thoughtseize. And that was really awesome. And we all had an awesome weekend. We had a great place to stay. We had Jadeen with us, who I had never met in person before. And that was really awesome. And I was just so thankful to all the people that came up and complimented us, you know, for being part of CSL, for doing the show. And I just want to say, you know, thank you to them so much, you know, for supporting what we do. And it was really awesome meeting all of you, especially Andrew, Dakota, James, and Ellen. So thank you so much for giving us much love. And that really made the weekend even better than it already was.
Yeah, this weekend was amazing. This was probably, you know, this is probably one of the best GPs I've ever been to. Like if I do top three easily. So I had spent the last couple of months preparing for this GP by playing Dredge, and I was fairly confident that I was going to take Dredge. And then all of a sudden I started to do worse with the deck and other people started doing better. And then right around the time that Ross Merriam won the open with Dredge, I was like, abort the mission, because everybody started talking about it. And then people started preparing for it. And I didn't know if I was a good enough pilot to go through all of that. I kept seeing these articles that were coming from people like Tom Ross and Ross Merriam, and they were like, well, you can still play Dredge and an experienced pilot will know how to beat the hate. And I was like, well, am I an experienced pilot? Can I beat the hate? And I just started feeling really insecure. And I decided last week that I was going to play Ad Nauseam. My other reason for playing Ad Nauseam was because if Modern's going to be a format where you ignore people, there's no deck that ignores people better than Ad Nauseam. And also people were starting to shave their hate for other decks to be prepared for Dredge. Like Jadeen was very open about the fact that she had cut a lot of her affinity hate because she was like, I've got bigger fish to fry. Affinity's been on a bit of a downswing and I really can't afford to worry about that. And so my hope was that the few cards that people would have in their sideboards for Ad Nauseam, they would shave because the deck is so fringe, and they would maybe put in more affinity hate or more Dredge hate, and I would be able to sort of capitalize on that. The one thing that I didn't plan on Bant Eldrazi being so popular. Bant Eldrazi ended up being a great matchup for me. I faced it 5 times in the 2 days that I played. And on day one, I faced it 4 times consecutively. Wow. So it was, I had a round one bye, round two Bant, round three Bant, round four Bant, round five Bant.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Diverse.
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many heart attacks I had this weekend? Because that deck starts off with turn one Noble Hierarch, which normally says infect, and then my heart drops because I'm fucked because that matchup is so bad. So you don't know how many times my opponent would play a turn one Noble Hierarch and my heart, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then they would go turn three Matter Reshaper, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm still in this. It's cool. But so many scares this weekend. So many scares. So I ended up beating the first three gentlemen playing Bant Company. One of them was my backup feature match. The last gentleman I played on day one on Bant Eldrazi ended up making top 8. He was very sweet. The only reason he beat me, and he'll agree to this, is that he played a Chalice of the Void and Stony Silence. Mm-hmm. Those are things I can beat one at a time. Like if you play just a Chalice, I can play around that. If you play just a Stony Silence, I can play around that too. But when you combine them and I've missed 3 land drops, it's a really bad deal. So he was a really nice guy. He was one of my 2 losses. I finished the day 7-2, which was massive for me. I had never done that well before. The last time I day 2'd, it was 6-3. So there was a noticeable improvement there. We hung out a little bit Saturday night. We didn't do anything too crazy. I got a good night's sleep. I got about 7 hours. Came back on day 2. And there were 6 more rounds of Magic. I won 3-3. I did end up facing Bant Eldrazi again, and I defeated him. I did end up facing Infect, but he was very lovely, and I did take him to game 3. And then I ended up losing to Merfolk. Merfolk, you know, you mentioned Merfolk, Chris. Merfolk was supposed to be a good matchup for me, but both the people I played that were on Merfolk were running play sets of Chalice in their sideboard. And multiple chalices. So like my one opponent was like Chalice for 1, Chalice for 2. And I also learned, and I don't know if you know this, but when Merfolk people play Chalice for 2, they can still cast their creatures that cost 2 with Cavern of Souls and it won't get countered by the Chalice. Yeah. So he hit me for chalice for two. And I was like, don't your lords cost two? And he's like, we'll get to that. And I'm like, okay. And he was really nice. So he didn't mean it in like a crummy way, but he was like, I'll answer your question in a second. And he plays the Cavern of Souls and he taps for a blue and goes, Lord of Atlantis. And I was like, oh, but it costs two. Nice try, you. And he's like, well, it's not going to get countered. And I was like, judge. And so the judge comes over and the judge confirms that if they pay for it with Cavern, it will not get countered. So, so he was able to counter my two drop spells while still casting all of his lords, and he defeated me. So Merfolk was surprisingly bad for me this weekend, but Bantle Drazi was fabulous. And, I ended up finishing 10-5, getting my first ever pro point. That was 157th place out of about 1900 people. And, it was just an amazing feeling. I'd never done that well before. And, I felt like I went into it with a really good attitude. I felt like I didn't tilt on anybody all weekend. I was a very good sport. Even when, you know, some things happened that weren't great, I gave him a smile. I think I said a bless your heart once or twice, but it was never like, I did it with a smile on my face. There was nothing malicious. I didn't get stabby. I handled everything very well. I was very proud of myself just from top to bottom. I was proud of the way I played. I was proud of the way that I prepared. You know, I had my little whiteboard for my life, but my sleeves were tight. My mat was tight. I didn't pack any extra shit. I just felt like from top to bottom, I played the whole weekend very well. And so our next event is Dallas, which is in November, and that's modern as well. And hopefully I'll be able to do it again.
Awesome. I think that deserves like a big ass booyah.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say though, you know, I was talking to Chris about this and I really have to give credit where it's due. I think a lot of where my preparation came from is I started playing World of Warcraft again. And, you know, I've been very open about the fact that when I played WoW, I played very competitively and I never tilted when I played WoW. Like I was very, very rational, very level headed. You know, I did a lot of testing when I played WoW. I rated regularly. I was very analytical. Like I didn't let my feelings get in the way of things. And since I started playing WoW again, I feel like I kind of tapped into that person again. And so I do look at things in terms of numbers and facts, if you will. And so I feel like I carried that back over to Magic where, you know, when somebody inquisitions me and takes my only Angel's Grace, it is what it is. Like that's what the cards do. And I can feel a certain way about it, but I really need to be preoccupied with what am I going to do about it? Like that happened. And I can either be distracted by how I feel about it. Be like, oh, this is so terrible. Why is this happening to me? Or I can just be like, it happened. Mm-hmm. Let's draw a card and keep going. And, you know, I just felt like my attitude was a lot better. And I feel like, you know, being in WoW again and being around my raiding friends and, you know, being around that lifestyle again kind of brought me, it carried over into Magic. And I feel like I really needed that.
Great. Awesome.
So, yeah. So it was a little level up moment for me. So there was some debate the other day happening over an announcement with the MTGO draft queues. I admit that I'm not fluent in draft, but I know that Katie and Hallie, you two are. So can you kind of explain to Chris and I and the listeners what these changes mean?
Sure. So from what I understand, leagues have been very successful on Magic Online. As a lot of us who play Magic Online know, I've played in a lot of leagues. I think most of us have played in leagues by now, and they're pretty awesome. They've decided to start running draft leagues, which sound pretty cool. Like, you can play them whenever you want, just kind of like, you know, any other league you do. I guess, from what I understand, you get into a draft with a bunch of players, with, you know, seven other players, and you draft like you normally would on Magic Online, and then you have an unlimited amount of time, or I guess until the league ends, to play your matches with the deck that you drafted. The one caveat is that you aren't always going to be playing with the players you drafted with. It's going to be a large league, and, you know, the leagues have been in the hundreds and thousands of players, and I expect, you know, nothing different for these draft leagues. So you could be playing against just about anyone, and I think that's where some of the debate came from.
Okay, so Katie, do you feel like this is a good change, or is this a bad change?
I feel like it's a good change for the average player mass that are playing Magic. Like, I feel like for the average player that goes to the FNM and drafts and is pretty good at it, this change will benefit you. I think if you're a pro player and you're grinding, you know, drafts and you're going to be playing in your pod, because that's the biggest deal that's happening right now, you know, it's probably not as good, but they all test within their little teams anyway, like to prepare for, you know, with a new set, and they're not even out on Modo anyway for them to play. So I think on average, I like this change. I think it gives people a lot of flexibility with time, because a lot of times for me, when I go to sit down to draft, I'm like, okay, well, I got to commit like 4 hours to this, you know, and that can be a long time to commit at one time if you have something else going on or whatever the case may be. So I think like being able to draft and then come back and play your matches, I think that the pros outweigh the cons for the fact that no, you can't know what the person on your left was playing, but most people aren't paying attention to that anyway when they're drafting. Like maybe you have some inkling, like I'm passing some good green cards, that person should probably be in green, but if they're another average draft player, maybe they're also not in green anyway. And I think overall this is a positive change. I view it as a positive change. I read both of the dueling articles, which I do like it when they come out with these. It seems like maybe they wrote them like together, because one of them was like, you should say this is bad and I'll say this is good, which I liked. But I do think overall for the community at large, draft leagues are a positive effect.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I agree with Katie that by and large, this is going to be a good change for people. I know people like leagues because they don't want to just sit at their computer for 4 hours in a row. Sometimes they don't have that time, you know, that many consecutive hours to invest in playing Magic Online. And for the average player, this is going to be good. However, I mean, I don't know what the exact demographics are, you know, what percentage of the population you could say is like, you know, a pro player or an aspiring pro player. But I know for me personally, I would still like to have at least the option of playing in 8-4s. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them. I use Magic Online as preparation for playing in PPTQs, and I hope to eventually use it as preparation to play in a Pro Tour. And I would like Magic Online to simulate that experience for me so I can get, you know, the best practice possible. So, you know, in that regard, you know, I would like for there to be two options so that everyone can be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like, it doesn't sound like, overall, it doesn't sound like it's going to keep people away. It just sounds like, you know, people have some little quibbles with it. And like I said, this was all a foreign language to me. So yeah. I'm grateful that you guys were able to. Chris and I, we were even talking about over the weekend, we were like, 6-3-2-4 drafts. Like, it was almost like it was code language, and she's like, I think that's it. And then I was like, isn't that when the packs does the, oh crap, we'll just wait for the show. So we just really needed you guys to filter it for us, and I'm really grateful that you did, so thank you.
You're welcome.
So also, there were some announcements that came out today. Mark Rosewater did his annual 2016 State of Design posts, and you know, people give Morrow and specifically Magic a lot of credit for being very transparent and also for being very honest. You know, Morrow has no problem admitting when things don't necessarily go very well, and so in addition to talking about the things from 2016 that he really enjoyed and that he felt R&D did well, he also talks about some things that they could have done better. I thought we could talk about some of the things that kind of jumped out to us and the things that we've particularly agreed with. You know, with regards to this battle for Zendikar, I love that he mentions the, you know, you guys still love full art lands. And we do. So just feel free to keep them coming every set. That's totally fine. He also mentions that they focused on the wrong part of Zendikar, which we can all agree with. There were too many Eldrazi, which, you know, I certainly agreed with that. And then the big one that stood out to me is the colorless mana symbol should have been in battle for Zendikar.
Yep.
And I certainly agree with that. Chris, what were some things in this post that you really agreed with?
I like how he pointed out that they should have kept an investigate. Like, yes. I can understand from maybe a flavor perspective, like, why they didn't, because there was a whole big reveal and now we're not, you know, intrepid investigator Jace looking for clues. However, I really like the investigate mechanic. I would have liked to see them do something more in depth with it. That would have been really awesome. I also agree there were too many Eldrazi. It was just Eldrazi shitting out everywhere.
Literally in some cases.
And I feel like he mentions that there were too many named keywords and abilities and other things. And, you know, I know that he mentioned, you know, ingest, you know, getting in love and other things. But I don't remember, like, a lot of decks that had ingest that was, like, a really big you know, to do or anything like that. It felt like people selected the Eldrazi that they liked the most, that were the best, and ignored other Eldrazi and just were like, we like maybe these five, and that's the one we're going to stick with. I like that the Innistrad mechanics were well received. People seem to really dig that. I think that Delirium went over really well. I think people really enjoy that. And I was just happy to be a part of anything Innistrad related, because I really came in like at the end of that, you know, the first time around. And I like that they talked about visual components being important to the design for everything, so that people understand how, you know, cards are supposed to work. And I thought it was interesting when he starts talking about, you know, if you had the colorless symbol in Battle for Zendikar, you know, to kind of make it make a little more sense. I just still can't believe that there was such a kerfuffle about like trying to understand that, but I guess I can see where some people are a little confused. But overall, it seems like, you know, with these two blocks, everything has gone, you know, for the most part, fairly well. And if they've learned, you know, from these little hiccups, I have, you know, high hopes for what, you know, Kaladesh and what Aether Revolt will bring. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what comes next.
Katie and Hallie, what do you think?
Like, I remember last year when we were doing the State of Design 2015, and I was like, I've never read one of these. And now here we are doing a second one, so kudos to us. But I really liked, he said that we're getting better with story integration, and for me, who doesn't follow Magic lore at all and knows nothing about anything background-ish in the game, I was like, yeah, I kind of do know who these characters are, and I don't really know what they're doing differently, or if the podcast is just like, hey, we're going to read this article, and I'm like, okay, and then I know what's going on. I don't know if it's Wizards is, like, advertising it more, or, you know, if it's just us going over it more, but I'm like, yeah, I do know who the characters are, and I do kind of like that aspect, because I don't have to go super out of my way to find Magic stories, whereas before, I was just like, I don't even know where to start looking for who the characters are. I mean, I can Google Jace and see what comes up, but that might be a big pile to dig through.
You'd have to dig through time to find it.
I would have to dig through a lot of time. And then let me scroll down. I can't remember what it was. The top-down design. I really agreed with all of the kind of flavor. And he mentioned Triskaidekaphobia and Harmless Offering and Emrakul. And I do feel like they did nail the top-down design, and I really like that, because as I was going, you know, through draft and through sealed and playing with these cards, I was just like, wow, this is cool. I don't know how you use this card, but I'm, like, excited to find out. And it seemed like there was a lot of complexity, you know, with the keywords that could have been backed off a little bit, but I did like kind of the depth that the cards offered themselves. Like, Harmless Offering definitely was like a Harmless Offering. I was like, oh, that card will never do anything. It doesn't matter. And then we saw Cat Packs, and I was like, oh, look at what this card can do. This is so fun. So I did like all the surprises that the cards kept on giving.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Katie and Chris have said about the complexity of the set. I personally have really enjoyed it. I've really loved drafting triple Shadows over Innistrad. I loved, you know, just how deep that set was. But, you know, as someone who teaches teaches people to play Magic and interacts a lot with newer players, I have, you know, occasionally struggled to explain things to people, or, you know, watched other people struggle with the set. And, you know, I think for the average player, while the flavor really resonated with them, I think the actual mechanics were a bit difficult. And I definitely agree with what Mark Rosewater said about, you know, maybe removing a couple mechanics, like, you know, I guess, like, Escalate, to me, one of the newer mechanics from Eldritch Moon, it didn't feel as flavorful as maybe some of the other mechanics, and, you know, if there were, you know, one that could have gone, maybe that could have been it. But, you know, to go back to, you know, the article as a whole, I really, I like that they use new design space with the Eldrazi. I really like that they played with the Exile Zone. I love it when, you know, Wizards decides to do something a little off center and new to kind of throw us for a loop. I like that a lot. I love the Zendikar expeditions. I was lucky enough to open several of them, and I can't wait to, you know, get my hands on another set that has something cool like that and try and, you know, press my luck again. But yeah, I mostly agreed with what Mauro said. I was just reading through the article and just going like, yep, that's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And it's always great to, you know, read this article and, you know, every year I read Mark Rosewater's article and every year I feel like, wow, he really understands the players. Like, you know, sometimes we kind of have our doubts about, you know, whether, you know, our response as consumers is being heard. And this always reaffirms for me that, like, yes, they hear what we're saying. Yes, you know, our message is getting across. Yes, you know, there's an agreement there. And I love this article for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a slew of announcements that trickled out today about Kaladesh. Evan Irwin discovered that in MTG Puzzle Quest, Saheeli is listed as an Izzet Planeswalker. So it's very possible that that's going to be what she is. They also unveiled the first Magic story called Homesick, and they also released a Planeswalker profile for a Vedalken Planeswalker named Dovin Bon. And people are guessing as to what color or colors they are going to be. Did you guys get a chance to read the story?
I did.
Okay. Am I the only one that there was a lot of talk about this? Am I the only one that sensed some tension between Chandra and Nyssa?
There was. I went to the card shop earlier and we had a very lengthy discussion about the Magic story. How do I see this? So I read the story and I can see where they were going with it. However, it just was not really my jam. It was kind of like Tumblr fanfic.
Oh, and man. So,
yeah, I was not very into it. But it just kind of felt like everyone's just crashing with Jace except for Liliana, because she's like, nah, I ain't gonna stay with him. Probably not. You know, like give him, you know, the satisfaction of having me stay here and he's paying for it. Probably not. And so it just kind of felt like the real world Ravnica. And I was like, this is kind of odd. And, you know, Chandra's just like, peace, guys. I had this awkward moment with Nyssa. I'm going to Kaladesh. I was like, wait, what? So, yeah. And then, like, the Gatewatch being recruited by Dovin Bon to go to Kaladesh and figure out, you know, what's going on there and be security detail. It just kind of felt like someone was walking into Angel Investigations and being like, you want this case? And I was like,
You're just pulling out every pop culture reference tonight.
I am, because that's exactly what it reminded me of while I was reading it. And I was like, okay. So it's caused quite a stir on the internet, I will say that much. And I'm glad that I was not the only person that had this thought while I was reading it. But it literally felt like an anime episode. And so when I saw Christopher Freston earlier, he was like, yeah, it was like an anime. I'm like, I thought the same thing. I'm just like, I'm glad I wasn't alone. But I did enjoy, aside from the story, the thing I did like was them talking about what Kaladesh is supposed to be about, you know, describing, you know, what it looks like, about having the Aether be such a critical part of their ecosystem, you know, talking about this, like, consulate and how they're governing everything, and that there's renegades that are like, we're not down with this. And the thing that really spoke to me on the Kaladesh page was talking about how creativity should not be stifled. And I thought that was very interesting. And, you know, maybe Chandra's parents are alive. Maybe they're not. Who knows? They were just assumed to be dead. So was Chandra. So it's just kind of a little interesting to see what kind of inventions, you know, may show up in the set and, you know, what's going to come of it. It just seems very mysterious, yet fun and playful. And I wasn't really, like, super, super, super excited about the set. I was even talking today about maybe not even, like, buying, you know, multiple boxes of it. But, you know, just kind of reading some of the background just about the plane in and of itself just seems like it's probably going to be, like, really cool.
Yeah, I want to read some of the portions that have got people talking. So, for example, this is Nyssa and Chandra in a garden, I assume, and this is coming from Chandra. So this is first person, and she says, "I giggle and try to push the hair off my sweaty forehead. I'm steaming under her gaze, skin gone molten. I think I'm crushing your flowers."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Flower crushing.
Oh, yeah. "They'll be fine," Nyssa says. "Her eyes are so deep. Deep black still. If you fell in, you'd never reach the bottom. I'm standing at the edge, too scared to jump." Oh, we're not even there.
Oh, God.
"Then my, there's more. Then my brain shuts off, but my mouth keeps walking over a cliff. When I touch that part of you..." I'm not making this up. "It was like when you're swimming and you just lie back and float, looking up at the sky. You can see forever and don't have to worry. I run a hand back through my sweaty hair. You must think this is dumb, huh? This is so what? I'm waiting for like the big teardrop over the eye, like in an anime. What does that even mean? I come in here and start spouting bad poetry." Nyssa says, "I thought it was eloquent." "Then I can teach you to meditate if you wish." You know how many times I've used that line? This is tawdry, and I love it. Hallie, Katie, do you have any thoughts on the story? Are you excited about Kaladesh?
I am excited for Kaladesh.
Mm.
Sorry, I didn't know if I was lacking or not.
Were you still in the garden?
I guess. Still in the garden. Well, I did see... So I actually have not read the story because I'm a bad person and I didn't have time. But I saw somebody say something like, maybe Chandra's lesbian. That would be awesome. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know where they got that idea from, but I mean, that'd be cool. I'd be fine with that.
Now you know. Yeah. I mean, and I made you,
That's so cool. Like, I'm really stoked if that's where they go with the storyline, because I would really like to have, you know, more diversity in the Planeswalker, and having a lesbian Planeswalker seems sweet. Like,
yeah.
But, I don't know, you reading those lines does make it sound a little fanfic.
She looks away for the first time, and one hand tugs a grass stem ear. The snow of her cheek is brushed with sunset color.
So maybe it could have been a little different.
I don't describe my friends this way.
True dad.
Like, there Hallie's a great girl, but I don't say her cheeks are brushed with sunsets.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a little different. And then what do they keep calling Gideon? Beef slab?
That was funny. I mean,
I love Gideon.
And somebody was like, somebody had tweeted a picture of the fist tattoos where like one hand says beef and one hand said slab. And like, that should just be the playmat where it's just the two fists out at someone.
Nice.
And it has like the little, the white dangly weapons like around the wrist. I would 100% buy that playmat.
Maybe I do need to read this story. As soon as we're done recording, pull it up and just go through it. It's really long, though. My God.
It is. With like a towel around your head and like bonbons by your side. It's like a harlequin. You got to get really tawdry with it, like in your slippers.
All right. I could probably do that. That's how I look all the time.
Hallie, do you have any thoughts on Kaladesh?
I'm really excited for it. We haven't had an artifact block since before I started playing Magic, so I'm excited for that. I also didn't read the story because I'm not a story person. I was hoping to get the cliff notes from Robert's sister, who loves the Magic stories. it seems really cool. I'm excited to go to PAX this weekend and learn more about Kaladesh there. That's kind of where I am.
They also announced today that they're going to be flying in ambassadors from all over the world to do coverage of the event. They're going to be taking pictures and live tweeting and making videos. And, there's been some, images of what the Inventors Fair is going to look like. And it just seems like it's going to be action packed. And I hope you have lots of neat stories to tell us next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anything else on our minds before we wrap up the show?
Well, I will be at PAX this weekend. So I assume most of our listeners know how to play Magic, but if you want to say hi to me, I'll be teaching people to play Magic over at the Paramount Theater. That's where the Inventors Fair will be happening and where a lot of the Magic happenings will be going on. So if you see me, I'll probably be wearing, I think we're wearing burgundy shirts or something like that. So if you see me, say hi.
Awesome.
Have something too.
No, you go first. You go first.
Oh, well, my announcement's a little on the sad side.
Oh, God.
Watson may or may not have chewed up the train whistle.
Oh, no!
Yes, I was.
Oh, no.
And it's actually a funny story. I was Skyping with a friend, and we were on, like, the video chat, and then somebody came to the door, and I went outside for, like, 10 minutes. And apparently while I was outside, Watson got up on the arm of the couch, and then he walked onto my desk in front of the camera, and he walked all the way over to the edge where he can't get to, and grabbed the train whistle, and then he hopped on my chair and hopped down, and then he just destroyed that train whistle.
Oh,
Watson.
All while my friend was just like, Katie, Watson has it. Oh, yep, there it goes. There it goes.
Was it like making noises as he was destroying it, like, whoosh.
Well, I like to think that if it was, I would have come back inside, but I heard no noises, and I came back inside, and there's just splinters on the floor of wood, and I was like, Watson, how did you... Oh, jeez. Oh, so I will be getting a new train whistle ordered, or I'll go find a store that sells them. I don't know what stores are in this town yet, but the train whistle from Aaron is no longer.
Oh my God, I'll have to tell him when we're done.
Well, I'm glad Watson's okay, because the minute you built up, like, oh, my heart dropped. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
They're going to be like, Watson has cancer.
No.
Or Watson has, like, a baby mama or something. I'd be like, oh, no.
Well, Watson is a zombie. One of our listeners has sent us a tweet that he turned various dogs from the community into tokens, and Watson's a zombie dog.
I did love that.
Yeah, that was really... Cute.
I was like, maybe Watson just doesn't like the train idea. I can't tell. Because he, like, specifically got it from, like, all the way over on the other side of my desk. And then was like, I'm going to chew this. So, I'm not sure what he's trying to tell me, but.
So, before we go, I want to give a shout out to the best opponent that I played all weekend. I played him in round 8, I want to say. His name is Franklin. Franklin is a young man who is Jewish and queer. And he was playing Merfolk, and he was so great and so funny. He was very obviously queer, very extroverted, very outspoken, which I love. And he was just so funny. And we were just having the best conversation ever. Like, he was like, I knew you were trans. I didn't know you were Jewish. High five. And so we high five. And then he goes, Shahar Shenhar is so cute. I want him to send my mutavault in Hebrew. Do you think he would? And I was like, I think he would. And so Jacob Wilson was sitting next to us as me and Franklin are just gushing over our queerness. And he's just like, I don't know what's going on here. And he just had the most confused look ever. And he's like, do you like Kesha? And I was like, I love Kesha. And we're just having this great time. And we're just playing this really obnoxious match. And we're talking about, you know, he studied in Jerusalem for a little while. And he was talking about what it was like to be queer over there, and how he had to get certain people to he was trying to do some kind of reading, like, I guess some kind of Torah reading. And it was very, like, binary. Like, he couldn't get anybody to work with him. Like, he wanted to be paired with the woman, and some of the women wouldn't work with him. And, you know, he told me all of these things. And the best part of all was he mentioned that he does some mentoring for LGBT youth who happen to be Jewish. And he made a comment about how one of the girls in his group is a trans girl, and that she had wanted to get into magic, but she didn't necessarily see anybody who represented her. And so he told her about me and Emma and Jadeen, and she started following our work and started reading our, watching our videos. And so he thanked me for being visible, and thanked the others for being visible. And then I called Emma and told her the good news, and she cried. Because Emma cries, that's why we love her. And he was just the best opponent I played all weekend. And then he came back and visited me on day 2. And he was just so lovely. And we just had so much fun playing together. And it was just, I was like, can you just follow me to every GP ever? Like, you are just so funny and so quirky. And it's just very rare to find people who are, you know, frankly queer in the community. And especially to be paired up against an opponent, you know, towards the end of the day. You know, your head is full, you're in serious mode. And just somebody who took me out of that and made me have a lot of fun. So Franklin, like I said, thank you for being awesome, and you were literally the best person I played all weekend.
Awesome.
And then he did end up approaching Shenhar, and Shahar did sign it, and I guess he Franklin screwed up his Hebrew a little bit. Like, I guess there was a verb tense that was wrong, but Shahar was very polite and corrected him and completely made his day. He was like, Shahar said my mutavault, and I was just like, oh my God. And so Shahar is an all-star, and Franklin is great, so I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Cool.
Awesome.
I will also be streaming this weekend. It is World of Warcraft. Legion is coming out, the new expansion. So I will be playing it from, it's a 3-day weekend. So I'll be playing Legion literally from the first quest as much as I can this weekend on my stream. So if you want to come hang out and watch me slay demons and learn how to be a druid, it'll be a really good time. I'll be at twitch.tv/originalasterisk and it'll be fun.
Cool.
So if anybody's listening and they want to find out how to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalcanSan. That's HalcanSan. You can find me on Snapchat at HalcanSan. And you can come say hi to me at PAX this weekend.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at MeanMugger. That's MeanMugger. I'm also actually buying my lands for my Pauper deck like 2 months late.
Big spender.
I have the tab up, so I am ready to purchase them. So if you want to check out my stream, it's twitch.tv/meanmuggermtg. And if you're the lucky person that won the playmat, my email once more is katie.neil14@gmail.com.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at thkriz. My Gmail is yothkriz@gmail.com. My Snapchat, I'm trying to get better at doing it again, is CryptoCommand with K's. My blog, which should be updated this week, is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. And I think that's everything. Yeah, that sounds right.
And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at originalestrus. That's originalestrus. You can email me at originalestrus@gmail.com. You can find the show on Twitter at the GF Bracket. You can email us at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. We haven't had a listener question in a minute, so if you guys have anything you want us to answer, we would love to do that. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us also on Patreon, patreon.com/thegirlfriendbracket, and every Friday at gatheringmagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.